Would you open your Bibles to our memory verse this month, the 1 John? Very proud of Kimmy and Tunde and of all of the men and women, even teenagers who have done the discipleship. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Title of the message is Facts, Faith, and Feelings. It really is several messages. I may not finish it today and just shut it down. We'll see, because there is a lot of material here, but it's extremely important in the day in which we live. After the Reformation, people could trust that a church was preaching just from the Bible. If it was a Bible church, you could trust it was going to be preaching from the Bible. Now, there have always been different kinds of churches, but not like today. Today, you don't know what you're coming into when you come into a group of people who claim to be a church. And I want to talk to you about having a right order in your approach to the Bible, a right order to your faith, so that you're a strong Christian. And 1 John is a verse for believers. Now, we're striving to live by faith. What is our verse for the whole year? 1 Corinthians 5:7. Does anybody remember? Good. So we walk by faith. We learn how to walk by faith. But not by all faiths. See, today you may want to be in the Bible. Tomorrow you may want to be on Oprah Winfrey. On a rerun. Next day you might want to go to a palm reader. It's not all faith. It's walking by faith. We want to know what's right to live by. So, here in 1 John chapter 4, I want to say by introduction, a Christian is a spiritual person as much as they're a physical person. Don't believe the modern idea that you're just an animal. You're just going through life and the thing you're looking forward to is dirt. That's what everybody's expecting. But no, you are a spiritual human being. And it's just as important, and you know how important emotions are. You know, you hurt yourself, you get a broken leg or whatever. That's important. But you get a broken heart. You get a broken mind. There are things that can break that are not physical. And there are things that are ruined that aren't seen, and those are spiritual. So, I'm talking to Christians this morning, those of us who've been born again by the Holy Spirit. We've been made new on the inside. This verse that we're looking at in 1 John chapter 4 talks to the Christians, and we'll make that clear in just a moment. and as I said, we're supposed to walk. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." So I'm supposed to walk in the Spirit. I'm supposed to pray in the Spirit. Some people don't think that they can pray until they're in church. Did you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like, oh, now I'm in a place where I can pray? You know, you can pray anywhere. If you're praying in the Spirit. Some people pray in repetition. That's not in the Spirit. Some people pray towards the east, or they pray towards the north, or whatever. That's not praying in the Spirit. Now, the Bible says this. Look in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, in that one verse are seven things that we need to look at and set the stage so we can put things in right order. First thing we're going to do is pray. Lord, would you help us to understand faith? Faith is so easily misunderstood, so easily cheated, because we're trusting something we can't see. Lord, we need to have something solid and real to know and to believe that's not just made up, but true. Lord, I thank you that you give us the Bible. I'm glad that, Lord, you've taken the time to prove yourself. I pray that every Christian in this room and every person who does not know you as Savior, they may know you as God, they may know you as Jesus of Nazareth, but every person in this room who does not know you as their Savior, may they come to realize that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by you. Lord, there is no other way. There is no other church. Not our church, not church down the road, not a religion, not a belief, but Jesus. He's the only one that can save. Would you help this morning just be abundantly clear in all our hearts how important it is to know the truth? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, when you look at that verse, there are seven things in it. The first one is the first word. It's a wonderful word. It's beloved. It's what every married couple should say to each other. But it is a word that is reserved for Christians. It simply means somebody who's loved a lot. Beloved, which means loved over and over and over again. So here, the Apostle John writes and he says, beloved. Now he's not writing to the person down at the mall or up in government. He's writing to families, writing to other believers, to Christians. And he's writing, you can tell, from his heart. Beloved. I mean, you know, I mean, if I send a text to somebody, I say, hey, Eric. All right? Or maybe I might be real spiritual. I say, hey, Brother Dean. You know, it's spiritual, right? No. But I don't often say, beloved. This is from his heart. So this is important. When it's like this, it is important. And then he says next two words. Notice 1 John 4. Right there he says, beloved, next two words. Say it with me. Believe not. Obviously, there are some things not to believe. Some things not to trust. You tell that to your children. You say, somebody pulls up in a car and they says, hey, you want some candy? Don't believe it's candy. Don't believe they're a friend. Oh, your mom sent me to come pick you up. Don't you teach your children? Don't listen to a stranger. Don't trust them. Don't you say that to them? Of course you do. We're getting in an age where, I mean, it is a terrifying experience for parents to know what can happen to my children. How do you prepare them? Well, you tell them, don't believe everybody who smiles at you. There's some things not to believe. This is a serious warning. It's throughout the Bible. As a matter of fact, look at these verses. Matthew 24 says this. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11 says, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You say, nobody's going to believe that. No, they do it by the bucket load. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let no man deceive him. Can you trick yourself into believing something? I'm in love. No, you're not in love. You're just lonely. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. Here's a way that you deceive yourself. You say, I can take a drink and it won't hurt me. You're deceiving yourself. Amen. I can hang with these guys. I can go with these guys. I can hang around 11 o'clock at night and I won't get in trouble. You're deceiving yourself. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind. And he goes on and he says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. This is very good. Parents, don't be deceived. Evil communications, whether it's from the television or from the radio station that you have constantly playing in the background or from the friends that they hang with, evil communications will corrupt all the good manners you teach them. Don't be deceived. I mean, the Bible is filled with warnings. Don't be deceived. Don't believe some things. Galatians 6:7 says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A lot of us are still reaping from some stupid decisions we made 10 years ago. Amen? Did you know, I mean, I could go on and on. It goes on and says, let no man deceive you with vain words. That's your modern television. Let no man deceive you by any means, 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says. Little children, let no man deceive you, for many deceivers are entered into the world. Over and over and over in the Bible, it says, don't let yourself be snookered. So, it is right and it is very important for believers especially to be skeptical as a Christian. What does skeptical mean? It means don't be a scoffer where you just go, all religions are wrong. Well, that's stupid. All right? I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day And they just said, I can't wait for all religions to finally to be gone. Okay. Why is that? Because you all have ruined the world. And I said, you sure? Jesus Christ pretty well fixed some things. A lot of people, a lot of modern religions and religions that have claimed the name of Christ have ruined things, but Christ didn't ruin this world. All right? He had no idea about Jesus Christ. He just said, religion. Listen, you gotta be, look at Proverbs. You can leave this for a moment. Hold your place there, but go to the middle of your Bible, find Psalms, and then Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15. Proverbs 14 verse 15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. So can you imagine two people standing, and one person standing up comes up to the next guy, and the first guy says, you know what? Man, you are one smart guy. I mean, you're the smartest guy I know. I can count on you to give me all the wisdom, the counsel. The guy looking at you, looking at the other guy going, really? You think I'm smart? Wow. And you know what? I don't know. The girls must just fall for you. Man. You know, the simple will believe everything somebody's telling them about himself. But the prudent will say, go, what does he want? Okay? You see, the Bible says a prudent person, a careful person, weighs what is said. Don't just believe everything that people say. There are a lot of people who claim to speak for God. I hope you're careful about what you believe from the internet. Just because you find a website that says Bible teaching does not mean they're going to be teaching you the Bible. I hope you just don't believe everything RTE and Sky News is telling you about what's going on. A lot of stuff they don't want to tell. Skeptical means not going by appearances, and especially not going by how you feel. Skeptical. Now go back to 1 John. I want you to see. What's our first word? Beloved, we're going to memorize the verse this morning. Second word, believe not, and now the third set. Believe not every spirit. We're putting it together so that you get the idea here. Now we're getting to the point. Did you know not everything spiritual is good or true? Just because you feel something doesn't mean that it could be good. Oh, I feel spiritual today. Okay. Most people say, I don't feel very spiritual today. Something that you feel may not be a spiritual feeling. Sometimes you may see. I told you the story how I was traveling home from Bible college in the winter through a state called Oklahoma. And it had rained and then frozen everything. So I'm driving on sheets of ice. And I had what are called tire chains on my tires. I was traveling about 20 miles an hour. It was 3 or 4 in the morning. I was wrecked tired trying to travel to get to a civilization because I was in the middle of nowhere. And out in the distance, there was an object several hundred feet tall. And I'm looking at that thing and I'm scratching my eyes saying, man, I'm getting tired. And that object was going like this. This thing's hundreds of feet tall, and I'm slowing down, and my heart is beating a million miles an hour, and I'm going, Craig, you're asleep or something. What is this? And I see this thing just going across the fields, out maybe a half a mile away, three quarters of a mile away, off in the distance, and I'm pulling up there saying, we're invaded by aliens. Something has landed. Who do I report to? And as I got closer and closer, I could see there were some guys, and they had big trucks and big searchlights, and they were working on one of those big megawatt towers. And the towers have arms, don't they? And they were positioning these lights up there so they could get a good look at where they had to work, and it made them look like it was working. As far as I was concerned, I was seeing an alien. Don't believe everything you think you're seeing. Some people think they're talking to Mary at their foot of the bed. Some people think that they're talking to God, you know, through a cave. Be careful. Not everything you see. Some people wake up with a dream and they go, oh, it was in color. It must have been real. Something that takes over you may seem so powerful that you think it's spiritual, but most of the time it's not of God, folks. Do you know there is the Holy Spirit? Amen? Is He a spirit? Yes or no? Yes, He is. He works to convict us and call us to worship one person, and that's Jesus Christ. But there are also seducing spirits. You're holding your place here in 1 John. Go back to 1 Timothy now, just a few books back. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now, notice your Bible. Now, the Spirit, is that a little S or a big S? It's a person, isn't it? The Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly, very emphatically, very clearly, that in the latter times shall some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. What a modern word that seducing is. To seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Listen, don't believe everything just because it's beautiful. Just because it's attractive. I mean, we're sitting in nice seats. What if next week we all had to sit on benches? Or on the ground? Just because the church has got a lot of money and can meet in big buildings and stuff like that doesn't mean it may be right. And just because, listen, being poor is no mark of spirituality either. We don't live by what we see. We want to live by a greater foundation. Do you know, these seducing spirits bring most people into bondage. Believe not every spirit. How many ever bought a house? When you looked at it and you drove by and you went, that's it, we're going to buy it, and you didn't even go inside? And I know John and Ruth are desperate going, if it's for sale, we're going to buy it. You know? No, you would get a surveyor, you'd get it checked out, check out the foundation, check the roof out, you'd buy a car. My son Joshua, it was like fighting back an elephant. Joshua saw this car over in the United States and he said, I'm buying it. He hadn't even driven it yet. I said, Joshua, Dad is great. Dad, this mic, it reflects me. Dad. So my son Joel says, come on, we're going to go get it checked out. And he talks him into it. And this guy said, it's a piece of junk. And Joshua said, but I want that. We get so driven to do what feels like so good. That's how people fall in love a lot of times, too. It feels good. It can't be so wrong. Next verse, back there in 1 John, next part of the verse, it says, what's the first part? Without looking at your Bible, what's the first word? Beloved. Next word, believe not. And the next, every spirit. Okay, let's go to the next part. All right, if I'm not supposed to believe every spirit, I need to try the spirits. We're going to try to do that this whole month. We're going to look at putting what is spiritual to the test. Don't you dare believe everything I say. Sometimes I say things wrong and need to make sure I know. Okay? She says, that wasn't right. I go, you're right. And that's a good thing. Don't believe everything I say just because I'm up here and I'm wearing a nice suit. I've got proper hairstyle. And I got a PowerPoint too, you know? I mean, I've got to be right, right? Not at all. We need to try. Now, try doesn't mean I'll try this and I'll try that. It means put on trial. It means test it. It means you need to put spirits, spiritual teachings, religious teachers, and anybody claiming to speak for God on trial, where you test them, examine them, where you ponder the fruit of them before you believe what they may be saying. Somebody could stand up and say they're listening to angels. I heard from an angel this morning. Well, it better have been your wife. Oh, I went and I checked where Mars is, and Mars is in Taurus, and that's a good constellation. People go to palm readers. They trust their own thoughts, and they trust their imagination. Do you know, I thought people are enamored by religious leaders. If somebody says that they're speaking for God, people are like, oh, he's such a nice guy. Oh, and if people are so easily swayed because they want to believe. And it is dangerous. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says that we should prove
all things. Prove everything.
And that means everything. You know what? Let me see. How many of you have a Bible? Put it up in your, hold your hands up with your Bibles. Put your hands up. You see that? Some of you are visiting. This is a different kind of church. We don't have Bibles in the pew. We have Bibles in our hand because I want you to see what I'm saying, whether it's right or not. Whether I'm making it up or whether it makes sense. It has to come from this book, folks. We're told to prove all things. How can you know what is right or wrong? There's only one way. Go to Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah 23. We're going to come back to 1 John again. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 28. This is a great verse. Jeremiah 23. Start back in verse 26. Well, start in verse, well, let's say 26. Jeremiah 23:26 says, how long shall this be in the heart of the, what's the next word? Prophets. These are religious leaders. A prophet is supposed to speak for God, right? Well, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name. This is God talking. By their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Look at verse 28, the key verse. The prophet that hath a dream, well, let him tell his dream. Let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, here's the other guy, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock? Here's one guy, and he's up there, and he's speaking lies, and everybody loves it. Everybody says, oh, I like that guy. Oh, I like his message today. The other guy, he's speaking the word of God. Not many people are listening to him. You know why? Because the word's like a hammer. Doesn't make you all feel all ooey-gooey wonderful all the time. One guy's there for politics. He's looking for praise, adoration, and he's looking for your money. One guy is looking to impress only one person, and that is the Lord of his life. So, the next time you're in somewhere, and it feels so good to be here, check yourself and go, I need to test the Spirit. You know, if somebody's open to that book, and he's talking straight, you're probably all right. Amen. Amen. What is the chaff? The chaff is the outer, worthless part of wheat to the wheat. There's a way to test, and you just listen to the Bible. I've had plenty of people, they got the new Bibles, and they're reading from these new versions, stuff like that. And you put a King James Bible in front of them, and they go, well, that sounds like God. Amen? One's chaff, one's wheat. You can try the Spirit. Next part, go back to 1 John. Seven things in this one verse to take serious note of. The first one is written to Christians, beloved. Next two words, what is it? Believe not. There's some things I shouldn't just believe. I just should believe everything that somebody says. Third, every spirit. But what are we supposed to do? But try the spirit. And here's the key. Whether they are of God. Listen, spirits are invisible. I thought I'd ask you this, but, you know, in this day and age, we're getting to the place where we have strange. We have people who believe in aliens. We have people who believe, you know, in all kinds of invisible things and things you can't prove. And then you get the other people who don't believe in anything. And Christians are kind of a funny thing. We believe in angels. We believe in demons. And we know there's a devil. And we know there are things. But we don't get hung up on that stuff. Okay? But there are people who are afraid to accept the fact that there are spirits. And those spirits are what's behind what's going on in this world. Listen, our government's not that smart to be making this big a mess up. It is a spiritual drive that brings in abortion in America. It is a spiritual drive to take away rights and take away freedoms and to make everybody under a fascist, socialist, totalitarian state. Like it says it's gonna be. You know what? When you take away the authority of parents in the home, and you take away authority of the communities on a local basis, and you put it in the government, you know what you have? Totalitarian police running, trying to keep the order in our city. That's where we're headed. And our government's not smart enough to figure out how to do all that. It's a spirit behind it. Now, just because they're invisible doesn't mean they don't exist. God is a spirit. Jesus said it. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You better know who you're worshiping. You know, the devil's a spirit. There's a whole other realm, folks, a whole other dimension, just as real as this one. Angels are spirits, aren't they? So are demons. But when they do appear, you better be careful. Hold your place here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, 13. There in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 11, 13, for such are false apostles. Wait a minute. Paul, you're judging. You're saying somebody's false. You better be able to judge and go, that's not the real deal. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Would you like it? Would you trust me? Would you trust me, Monet, if I came in with pale blue surgery smocks and a mask? And one of those, you know, lights over the head so I can do microsurgery? Would you trust me with a scalpel? No. Say no. Say no. Say no. Of course you wouldn't. Listen. There are people who can transform themselves into something that we think is good, but they're rotten to the core. There are people who transform themselves into the apostles of Jesus, and yet they're demonic. Look at the next verse. Verse 14, and no marvel, don't be amazed, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They're doing so much good, whose end shall be according to their works. Some spirits are of God, and some are from the devil, man. Yet spirits can be tested. Did you know Moses wrote two whole chapters, Deuteronomy chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 18. We'll look at them another time. It tells us how to test the prophet, test the preacher, and find out if he's right. Somebody who claims to speak for God, he ought to be able to prove it. Jesus shows us how to test spirits. Paul shows us in Galatians chapter 1 and about 10 other places on how to test spirit. John, the whole reason why 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John are written are so you can test the spirit, whether it's in you or in somebody else. How many have ever doubted your salvation? How many have ever sat up and said, I wonder if I'm really saved? Come on, be honest. One, two, or some of you. That's the spirit of the Antichrist working in you. You may have a false hope. You may have gotten baptized and joined the church and given all kinds of money and prayed prayers, and you may not be saved. But there are a lot of things that come into your head and go, I wonder if I prayed right. I wonder if I said everything I need to say. I wonder if I confessed all my sins. What? 1 John, 2 John, 3 John were written to combat that spirit that gets into your head. All spirits can be tested. I'm going to show you how this month. Now he goes on. Back there in 1 John chapter 4. Let's see it. What's the first word? Beloved. Come on, say it with me. Beloved. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets. I want to stop with that thought there. And boy, false prophets. What's a false prophet? Anybody see that picture? What is that? You said a wolf, but it sure looks like a lamb until you look real close. All right? What are false prophets? False prophets make false prophecies. And how do you know they're false? Because they're not 100% true. I can guess that tomorrow it's going to be sunny. I prophesy it's going to be sunny. I have a 50-50 chance. Well, in Ireland, it's almost zero. But anyway, I can make a prophecy But if I, God made it very clear that if I prophesy, you're going to have a baby in 9 months, you know what? I better be right on, or I better be ready to be stoned. See, a prophet makes prophecies, and they have to come true, or else he's not a prophet. Say, well, he's only wrong 10% of the time. Then he's all wrong. A biblical prophet, a God-ordained prophet, prophesied and was never wrong. So a false prophet has a few mess-ups. That's why you don't ever listen to somebody who says, I had a vision last night, and I know when Jesus is coming back. Turn it off. Find another, somebody else to listen to. You can't, Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. You can't prophesy. If somebody claims to have a prophecy and it doesn't come true, ignore them for the rest of their life. A false prophet is somebody who always, who says things contrary to what God has already written. I've had so many people tell me, Pastor, you're just too narrow-minded. Close the Bible. Open your mind. What? Bye. Extra biblical revelation is from hell. That is the finished revelation. Revelation chapter 22 says, if any man adds to this prophecy, he's not saved. That's what it says. Anything that is against, you know, if the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. And somebody says, I know that, but you need to get baptized. Bingo, you just add it to the Bible. God says, not by works, lest any man should boast, and you just added a work. You ignore them. You see the point? Things that are contrary. I mean, somebody says something that goes against the Bible, you go, bye-bye. Some have power to do miracles. Somebody says, so-and-so, they were able to heal. Maybe they were. That does not make them right. Go to Revelation chapter 13. Last book in your Bible, Revelation chapter 13. Verse 11, Revelation 13, verse 11, this is all speaking of the coming time of the tribulation when the Antichrist is going to be here. And there's another guy called the false prophet. Watch him. And he beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Verse 11, he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth, and them which dwell therein, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was, say it with me, healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come from heaven on the earth, come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, watch, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, he'll do it in front of television, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, and which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he even had power to give life to the image of the beast. There is somebody coming who will do unbelievable miracles. That doesn't make him right. Some have power to do miracles. Somebody says, that can't be wrong. My sister went down to the Lord, got down to the water, came out, and has been walking ever since. Great, I'm glad. I'm glad she's better. But I don't put the power in the water at Lord. Most of them are only fake miracles. I've never seen anybody heal an amputee. Have you? You ever seen anybody with no arms come up to a faith healer? And a faith healer say, be healed! And it's never going to happen until the Antichrist. It's never going to happen. They can't do it. Most of them are only fake. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Oh, I can speak! Fraud, and the whole crowd goes crazy. You say you're making fun. No, I'm making facts. I'm trying to get you to wake up and go, not everything you see on the God channel is right. They trick people, false prophets trick people into following false gods and believing false truth. That damn. Let me tell you about I think I've used this illustration. Don't laugh if you already know the answer, but there's a woman I know, she has the last name Ledbetter. She has five children. She kind of longish hair, and she lives kind of on a hill, and she's married to a really cool guy, and her name is Donna. You know, I'm talking about my brother's wife, Donna. Her last name is Ledbetter. They live on a hill. They have five children, just like we do. Everything was just like Nita until the last point, wasn't it? A lot of people will talk to you about somebody named Jesus, and they'll tell you all the things about him, but then finally you find out, oh, there's one thing different. There's only one Jesus. There's not different editions. There's only one. And if you're following the one that doesn't match the Bible, you're damned. That's why I say in this book, folks, and these false prophets are being, and they may not even know it, but they're being led by false spirits. Demonic spirits, and they don't even know it. Did you know the Old Testament describes chunks of time when God's people were ruled over by false prophets? As a matter of fact, they even love to go back to Jeremiah chapter 5. Is it getting cold in here? All right, Dan, if you want to come back behind me and close like two of these doors for me, I want everybody awake, but I don't want everybody shivering. We're in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 31. Jeremiah 5:31, the prophet prophesy how? And the priests bear rule by their means. Are you with me? And my people, God's talking, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? So there were prophets who were preaching false things. There were priests who were bearing rule, but not God's way. And yet, how were God's people taking it? Oh, I like it. And they loved it. You think that Christians would only love the truth. But you know, when you get discouraged, when the devil pulls the rug out from under you, and everything goes dark and quiet, and things aren't working, you'll believe anything that gives you hope. You better have some hope before you go into the tunnel. Amen? Some false prophets start new religions. How many of you ever heard of a guy named Muhammad? He started a new religion in 610 A.D. Do you know what he claimed? He claimed that the Antichrist, he wrote it in the Quran, I looked it up, he calls it the Dajjal, the Antichrist. He says he will appear right after Constantine falls. That didn't happen until 1453, and guess what? The Antichrist didn't show up. Yet there's a whole religion of almost 1 billion people believing that Muhammad was the prophet. Really? He has to be 100%. There's another guy. It's actually a girl, lady, named Mary Baker Eddy. She married several times. She's part of a cult called Christian Science. It's an oxymoron. This was long before that they're a Christian Scientist, so don't get put off by the name. But you know, she prophesied in 1904 that at the end of this century, Christian Science, at the end of the 20th century, Christian Science will be the only universally acknowledged religion in the world. Okay, we're in the 21st century now. She was wrong. Also in 1904, she said the earth will end in 2100 AD. Well, we have yet to see whether that's going to be true or not, but see, that was very convenient, put it far out there. And then she prophesied that she would never die. She said, there's another woman named Ellen G. White of the Seventh-day Adventists. You know, one of the people who were her mentors, named William Miller, sat down with her and predicted that Jesus Christ would come on March 21st, 1844. He didn't. Well, when that passed, he changed it to April 18th, 1844. Jesus didn't come back. So they made another date. Sounds like, anyway. Made another date, and he said it would be October 22nd, 1844. He didn't come back. You know what they call that time? They call that the Millerite Great Disappointment. Ellen White got caught up in all that stuff. Joseph Smith, I don't even know who that is. Do you know, he prophesied that Jesus would return in 1891. He didn't. He prophesied that a Mormon temple would be built in a little bitty town called Independence, Missouri, in his lifetime. It's still not good. He actually prophesied that one of these days we'll get up to the moon and we'll find people living there. And he didn't. A guy named Charles Russell and Judge Rutherford started Jehovah's Witnesses. Charles Russell, he said that Jesus Christ came back in 1874. I haven't met him yet. Russell proclaimed that Christ invisibly returned in 1874. That was convenient, wasn't it? He predicted the rapture of all the Christians in 1878. They're still here. He expected the day of wrath in 1914. It didn't happen. Rutherford said that, well, okay, he got it wrong, but I got it right. Jesus will come back in 1925. He didn't. In 1966, 1975, 1976, they kept saying Jesus is coming back. That sounds like an addict to me, doesn't it? False prophet. False prophet. Folks, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Go back. Some false prophets are sitting in churches. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Not all of them are out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Now, folks, don't get it wrong. I know Jesus is coming back. I hope you know that too. Jesus said, if I go, I will come again. It's these guys who say that they know when. It's these guys who say he's coming back to our little group up on the top of a hill somewhere. What's funny is they get the followers. People believe it. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says this. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another what? Which ye have not received, or even another gospel, which ye have not believed. Watch what the last word says. Ye might well bear with him. You might put up with him. You might like him. So somebody, and I'm serious, all right? I mean, there's about 110, 120 of us here. I'll be honest with you. Do you know how to make this church double in size in just a few weeks? Change the message. Promote a different Jesus. A nicer Jesus. Preach a different spirit. Tell a different way of getting saved, and that we won't be able to turn them all, we won't be able to fit them all in here. Some false prophets are in churches. Some speak on the God channel. I know maybe you watch that stuff. I know. I watch my Bible. I actually spend more time imagining what I read in the book than imagining what somebody's saying on the channel, especially stuff like this guy named Benny Hinn. You know, Benny Hinn predicted that God would destroy New Orleans with fire. He did it the very year that something called Katrina came in and destroyed it by water. He was wrong. You know what he did? He predicted, it was a guess, probably demonic. He made a guess. You know, I think there's going to be great disaster down there in New Orleans and God's going to destroy it by fire. And God said, let's bring some water in. He also predicted that Fidel Castro would die before the year 2000. He didn't. Listen, don't think, well, he does so much good. He's wrong. How about Joel Osteen? Your life can be great. Robert Tinton, Jack Van Eppy. I'm saying names, maybe you don't know them. Jack Van Eppy said that in the year 2001, he would enter in the greatest international chaos we've ever seen in our history. He predicted right after the year 2000, he predicted on television that there would be worldwide experience of drought, war, malaria, and hunger affecting all continents. It didn't happen. I mean, we got trouble. These guys are making extreme. I'm telling you, folks, don't get discouraged. Don't sit there and throw out the baby with the bathwater. Try to find out what to believe. Because all this stuff comes at you. Don't you understand? It's the spirit of this age trying to get Christians even to give up. What's the first word? Doesn't that pick you up? Okay. Beloved, believe not, stay with me, every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets, and I mean many, are gone out into the world. Now, let me just say this. They're more evangelistic than we've ever been, Brother Dan. These guys are more effective than Bible-believing Christians. I've said it to everybody in this room, folks. We got a job to do. We got to raise our families. Yes, we got to work our jobs, but we've got to be light in this dark world. Well, this world needs truth. It doesn't need more religion. It needs Jesus Christ. It needs a life change. But they are more effective than we are. They are more passionate. They're more zealous, and they're spending more money. Many are gone out into the world. Do you know Mormons give up 2 years of their lives to go somewhere, anywhere in the world they can get to? They spend 2 years before they ever get married. They have to spend 2 years and go door to door. That's how you see these Mormons coming door to door. They are giving up 2 years of their life, all at their own expense. They're knocking on your door, next door, next door. They're pretty zealous. You know, Islam, they have as many children as possible to populate a target country with Muslims. Jehovah's Witnesses go over and over and over the same area until they're run out because they're zealous. Richard Dawkins gets up and he says, I'm here to evangelize you. To be an evolutionist. These guys are more zealous than we are. No wonder, folks. No wonder. That's modern life. We'd rather watch a blockbuster movie than find out if there's something true, if there's something more important than today. And there is. There is. Folks, now be very careful. Don't end up worshiping your own skepticism. There is no safety in believing nothing. That doesn't keep you out of trouble. Our task as Christians is to test every spirit, every thought, even our thoughts. Don't just judge everybody else's thoughts. Judge the thoughts coming into your head. Every dream, every vision, every word spoken, every message heard, every Bible that claims to be a Bible, every preacher that claims to be a preacher, every prophet who claims to speak for God, every believer. Somebody comes up to me and says, hi, I'm a Christian. You know what I say? When did you get saved? Oh, I've always been a Christian. No. You've always been a sinner. We're born sinners. Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. Just because somebody claims to be something doesn't make them that. So do that. Let me just finish up with some thoughts here very quickly. For most people, what is the guiding power in their life? Are you ready? Write this down. Healing. How do you feel today? Isn't that what your doctor says? How do you feel? That's what guides us. We go to work if we feel like it. We say we love you if we feel like it. We go to church if we feel like it. We check on somebody because we feel like it. We don't go to work and we don't feel like it. You see, we're guided mainly by feelings, aren't we? Now, a lot of people try to put faith first. And I know people who say, well, if I just had enough faith, Pastor, you don't need more faith. You know what you need? To use the faith you got. Jesus said all you need is a faith that's the size of a grain of mustard seed. Just use the faith you've got. Oh, I need more faith. That's a cop-out. People try to make their faith make something. I'm believing. They do that in Disney. When you wish upon a star, there is not where you are. What are they saying to a kid? Just believe. And it'll happen. Wrong. A lot of kids go to church and they think, if I just believe, I just pray, God will do what I want. And he doesn't, and they get out. Some people carry good luck charms, they carry crucifixes, but it doesn't work. God designed us to have faith. But our faith must rest on something absolute. God's order is this. If you want to be able to test the things that are going on, the things that are going on in your head, things that go on in church, things that go on anywhere. You may find yourself somewhere and you go, is this right or wrong? The first thing you need is to know the fact. The second thing you need to do is to believe the fact. Have solid faith in what's true. I don't believe airy-fairy. I mean, good night. Do you know, I'd like to believe there's no hell. How many like to believe there's no hell? Come on, anybody who's honest, none of us want there to be a hell. But you know what? I believe the fact there is a hell. I believe it because the proven facts of the Bible say it. So I have faith. And then I can enjoy safe feelings. Let me talk to you real briefly about those three things. Most people try to put their feelings first. So it's like building a house, but you put the roof on first. You come to church, and you're like, okay, Pastor, make me feel good. I can't make you feel good until you have a solid foundation. And until you're believing that foundation. We're going to consider each of these three aspects very briefly. First of all, you got to start with a fact. Just the facts, man. What is a fact? Fact is something that's true. Hey, how many believe 2 + 2 = 4? Some of you went to school. Do you know what that is? A mathematical fact. It has always been true, and it'll always be true. It's true in Ireland. It's true in England, even. It's even true in France. It's true anywhere in the world because it's true. If you don't believe it, it doesn't make it untrue. And just because you do believe it doesn't make it true. We got to get this in our heads, folks. Facts are always true. You may not believe it, but it is still true. For example, I believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again as the only Savior. You know why I believe it? Because it's in the Bible. Not because I made up a religion about somebody I called Jesus and said he died and rose again. No, no, no. I believe the fact. Go to Acts chapter 1. You can leave 1 John now. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Do you know the Bible is the most proven book in the world? Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. This is the apostle, this is Luke writing, and he says, Acts 1:3, to whom also he, Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion, that was after his death, by many, what are the next two words? Infallible proofs, unquestionable proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Do you know, every other book I own, I was going to bring in a bunch of books I own. I have books on biology, I have books on astronomy, I have books on chemistry, I have tons of books. You know the difference between my Bible and all those books? Those books are constantly being updated, constantly being corrected, constantly being thrown out and new additions brought in. You know why? Because they've been found out to be wrong. But not this book. I still use a 400-year-old book. You know why? Because it's perfect. This book has been proven by prophecy. And not just a few vague predictions, but exact predictions of world empires like Greece and Rome before they ever existed. Daniel predicted there would be two nations coming up after the Medes and the Persians. One would be from the west and would conquer the Medes and the Persians, and then one coming further west and would conquer the whole world just before the Messiah would come, and he came as a stone cut out of a mountain without hands. And all of that came true. Four nations, four empires, the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, and then Rome. And guess when Jesus was born? When Rome was in power. Exact nations predicted. The Bible gives you exact predictions of where the Messiah would be born. Tell me, where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Did you know that was predicted 700 years before he was ever born? It was predicted right in the Bible. It didn't say, in a city, out in the country, somewhere. No, it said, in little old Bethlehem. It said it exactly. Why do you believe the Bible, Pastor? Because it's proven. You know, the Bible gives you exactly, it predicts exactly 1,000 years prior to the fact, exactly how the Messiah would die. That his hands and his feet would be pierced. And that he would die between two criminals. You can't get more exact than that. I mean, if I were writing something, I wouldn't say it's so exact just in case it didn't come out exactly. I'd say the Messiah would kind of be hated. Well, it's easy for you to say, well, I was hated today. No. He was despised and rejected. He was the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and he died, the Bible says. Do you know the Bible gives you the exact prediction that the whole world is going to be controlled by numbers? Assigned to every man, woman, and child so that no one will be able to buy or sell without a number or a mark. And here we are. I mean, our grandparents didn't have numbers. We're such a, we live with numbers. We have our PSNI number, oh, PSI. Oh, they keep changing PSIN numbers. All these dumb numbers. We have every number imaginable assigned to us now, and the Bible predicted there's coming a day where everybody will be numbered. Started with a company called Itty Bitty Minds, IBM. IBM started in Nazi Germany numbering Jews. Bible predicted it. History. You know, you read in the Bible, you find a guy named Abraham, and he came from a city called Ur the Chaldees. And it wasn't until 1850 that anybody actually was able to say, we found it. They always said, well, we kind of believe it. We don't know if it's really true. Abraham might have been from a fictitious country, until some guys were digging in the desert, and they're digging 50 feet deep in sand. And as they're digging through for a railway going through Iraq and Iran, as he's digging, it bang, and he hit a mile marker. A little imp sign saying, welcome to Ur. And they found the city under 50 feet of sand. Ur the Chaldees, discovered in 1850. Bible critics tried to deny all the Hittites, the Horites, the Edomites, all the nation cities in the Bible, and yet some guy finds them and proves the Bible true every time. And it's science. Do you know the Bible said the earth is a round ball in Isaiah 40, verse 22. And he says in Job chapter 26:7, it says it's hanging on nothing. That was at the day when people thought the earth was flat and resting on the back of turtles. That's what the general world thought. The Bible says the universe is expanding in all directions. And they point telescopes and they go, it looks like it's expanding in all directions. The Bible says that stars can't be numbered, and guess what? They can't be. The Bible is scientifically, historically, prophetically correct. Folks, where is truth? Right there. It is a proven book. Now somebody says, when it talks about things you can't see, now you can move to faith. See, the things I can test, I test. Before I ever believed the King James Bible, I tested it. I checked out, I got 26 different versions in my home. I checked them out. I tried to teach myself Hebrew. End of story there. I did take 2 years of Greek and everything to learn the background on this Bible in Bible college. And let me tell you, it is the truth. Even Jesus said it. Praying to his Father, he said, thy word is truth. Talking to God the Father. This is the most proven book in the world. So before you ever start believing something, you better have the facts. Would it be all right if a doctor was blindfolded? You come into the room, he says, how you doing? I don't feel too good. He says, well, I think probably you've got appendicitis. Well, have you checked me? I kind of don't need to check you out. I've got this feeling. I get this aura from you that you've got appendicitis and we're going to open you up. Would you trust him? No, you want him to get the facts. You want to make sure it's not gas. All right? Okay? You know the facts before you trust something. And that's why we're Bible believers. Before you can start believing what you can't see, make sure you believe what you can see. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. In verse 29, Thomas is standing before Jesus, who's alive. Thomas didn't believe he was alive. John chapter 20 and verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And then John continues and says, many other things, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written right in our Bible, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing ye might have life through his name. Wait a minute. Pastor, I want to see Jesus. No, you don't need to. You need to read a book about somebody who did see Jesus. You need to know whether that book is true or false. If it's true, you can trust it. I don't have to see Jesus. I don't have to handle Jesus. Jesus said, Thomas, you're going to be enough proof for somebody.
Blessed are they who believe without seeing, without holding. They're in the Bible, because it's proven true, is our means by which we step on and say, I now can believe. A lot of people are trying to believe in Jesus, but they don't know what he's like. They don't know what type of Jesus to believe. Let me tell you, the only one to believe is the one written in that Bible. He loved you in your sin. He loved you enough to take the punishment for your sin. And when he died, he even prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when he died, he said, it is finished. 3 days later, when he got up, sin was done. It had been dumped in hell. It was gone. And he says, now follow me. And all you have to do is believe in the one man from Galilee who proved that he was God in the flesh and he died for every sin on this world. All you have to do is believe that he died for you and asked him to save you. You know what? According to the facts of the Bible, you can believe that he will. Amen? That's how you get saved. So before you ever start believing something, you better have the facts, and we've got the facts, folks, and then you can have faith. Mark 11:22. This is going to wrap up very quickly now. Mark 11:22. Jesus speaking. And Jesus answering and said, I say unto them, have faith in God. Wow. You know, it's okay to believe in God. Once you know which God to believe, once you know how to believe, you know what Jesus gives an illustration. He says it very clearly. I like how he does it. He says, you know how you get in the kingdom? And Jesus sat down and he called a little child up and put him up and he set him on his knee. He said, believe like this little child. Isn't that wonderful? You see, God will tell you how to believe even. Say, well, I'm trying to believe. And then he shows the example. Believe like a little child trusts. You don't even know all the questions to ask. But you can know that you can trust him because he's trustworthy. He's proven himself. I kind of like my Bible, if you haven't told. Jesus says, have faith in God. It's a good thing. Faith is taking God at his word and acting on it. I don't just believe it. I live by it. It's not just a creed. Some people say, how did the Apostle Creed go? It says, we believe in God the Father. How does it start off? I can't even remember now. My brain's frying. But it goes to all in. That's not faith. Those are words in a book somewhere. A creed, we believe things about a person. Or we believe in something that happened in history. But faith is when we put our trust on a person. Could you trust in Napoleon? No, but you can believe Napoleon lived, amen? Napoleon's dead if you haven't figured it out. Okay. So you can't trust in Napoleon, amen? But you can trust in Jesus Christ. You see, I didn't just learn about Jesus and go, well, he lived 2,000 years. No, those are facts. Now I can believe the fact that he's alive now and he wants to live inside a sinking sinner like me. Faith is not just a creed. Faith deals with things we cannot see. Because the Bible is proven true about so many things that can be tested. Every time you find something about faith, or find something about science in the Bible, guess what? It turns out to be true. Everything you find in here about history turns out to be true. Everything you find in here, prophecy, it turns out to be true. So when it talks about a place called heaven, I'll give you one guess that you can count. That is true. When it talks about a place called hell, what can you believe? It's true. When it tells us that there is an eternal, never-dying soul inside of every man, woman, and child, what can you believe? True, I've never seen a soul. I'm looking at Bill Dawn. Bill Dawn's looking at me, but there is a part of him I cannot see that is eternal. We may put somebody in the grave and drop it down there and cover it with dirt, but there is a soul that lives forever somewhere. I believe it because I've read it in the Bible. My faith rests on facts. It rests on God's facts. And it deals with things that we can't see. Where I want to begin. You know, faith accepts spiritual truths in our experiences. Let me give you an illustration. All right? Let's see. I'm not going to ask you how many of this happened to you today or this week, but it's probably kind of often you wake up. And we woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You ever have one of those experiences? And then all day long, you felt like you were walking through molasses. And you're going, what is wrong? You know, sometimes you got to bring it in, and you find yourself arguing with your husband. You're wanting to kill the kid. And the cat is already dead. And, you're burning the dinner on purpose. And you pick up the Bible and you put it down. And everything's just going wrong, and you kind of enjoy it going wrong. You know what's going on? There's a spiritual realm. And you're kind of caught in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? So you see, when you start believing in things you can't see, you start to know, all right, there's another spirit here. I better pray to get clear of this battle. I better humble myself so God gives me grace and strength so I'm the victor here and not the victim. Amen? You see, faith accepts the spiritual truth into our experience. Some people say, well, it's his fault. He didn't look at me right. You know, we know they're a germ. Don't look at your husband. We know they're our germ. We know they're a germ, so what do? Because we know they're our germ. We clean up after we fix our dinner, or we clean up before we fix our dinner and stuff. What are we doing? We're bringing a knowledge into our daily life so that we're prepared and we get rid of germs so we don't get sick. Amen? You need to do that spiritually too. You see, if you have faith, you'll take what's written in the Bible and bring it into your life, and you go, if Jesus said I need to be born again, I'm physically born the first time, I can't be physically born a second time, it's a spiritual birth. I better figure out how to do it. It's just as important to me. What is faith? It believes God's word, and it believes all of them. Oh, well, I like Jesus, but I don't like the Old Testament God. They come as a package. Amen? I believe every book. In the beginning, God created. I believe it. We didn't evolve. There wasn't a big bang. There wasn't billions of years. I believe the Bible. All of it. Because Jesus said it. Because the Bible says it. I believe all of God's word. And you know, last point. Let me say what faith is. Don't neglect this one. Dan, this is where most Christians fail. They may believe the Bible. They may love the Bible. They may enjoy hearing it preached. But they ain't going to live it. You know, if you have faith, you will obey. Listen to Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of his country, I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember, he obeyed. Faith put action to your feet. You do what God says. Now, what about feelings? What about feelings? Feelings are supposed to follow facts. And faith. Their emotions, emotions like joy and sorrow, happiness, sadness. You know, if your health is bad, if you woke up in pain, how would your feeling be? It's pretty bad. All right? Our health affects our feelings. Our relationship affects our feelings. I mean, you have an argument with your significant other? I mean, hi, Pastor. What's wrong?
Don't ask.
Home events affect our feelings, our emotions. Change in the weather affects people's feelings, don't they? Rain again. Some people are happy when it rains. Our feelings are so changeable like a yo-yo, man. But the important thing to remember about feelings is this. Are you ready? They're changing. They are. And for this reason, we can never rest our faith on feelings. You cannot say, oh, I feel like believing. No, no, no. You feel like you believe. Do you hear what he said? Don't let your belief be like how you feel. Let your feelings be like you believe. That's why a Christian in prison can be happier than some of you in a nice Rolls Royce car. Amen. Christian lady was trying to explain the way of salvation to a young girl. The girl was confused. She said, I'm trying to believe, but I'm waiting for some sort of burst of light. The young woman opened up her Bible and she said, here's all the light you need. She showed her verse after verse of how she was in need of a Savior, and she got saved. You see, we kind of wait for something to happen when, folks, it's already happened. All you have to do is read about it and believe what Jesus did. No matter how much your feelings may change, they don't affect facts. Facts are true no matter how you feel. Hey, how many of you would love to get a letter from a sister saying an uncle died and left you a lot of money? How many of you like that? Come on, amen. Some of you are excited. Suddenly you're rich. And you say, but I don't feel rich. You see the change? See, somebody says, I just got this letter and it says, I've got 150,000 new euros. All at this point. I got 150,000, but I don't feel like I'm rich. See, some of you are wealthier than you've ever imagined. God wrote you a book that tells you about spiritual blessings and riches that are incomprehensible. You don't feel rich. You know why? Because you don't believe it. When you start believing it, it becomes awesome, folks. It becomes awesome. How do you handle your feelings? No matter how much they change. Folks, listen to this. Let me say this. There are times in the life of every Christian when you feel discouraged and depressed. You'll find quite a few people in your Bible. Elijah's one of them, John the Baptist. You have lots of people who come up with some bad days. But what do you do with it? Well, you have joy in believing. One more verse, Romans 15, and we're through. Romans 15. And there are two words I want you to circle in your Bible. How do you handle your feelings when you're discouraged? Romans 15, verse 13. This is really cool. 15:13 says this. Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. What's the most important part in the whole thing? Does God just give you hope? Does He just give you joy? What is He waiting for? Your belief. In believing. What are you going to believe? You're going to need to turn your attention to the facts of the Word of God. Why do we have church? Not so that we can sway to the music, not so that we can get a good feeling, not so we can have a good cup of coffee and just fellowship. That's all. The coffee's fine. Swaying's not good. But we come so that the Bible becomes that fact again that we put our faith on. And then you know what's cool? When you start to believe, you can trust that God will give you the joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come when? In the morning. It gives you an illustration that, you know, just, you may be going through a hard time, things may not be going great, but if you hold on, you trust God like you did when you got saved, joy is coming. Joy is coming. We're not saved by our feelings. We don't live by our feelings. And if you have enjoyable feelings, then praise God. Amen. I hope you're excited. But if you don't have thrills and excitement right now going on, praise God anyway. Praise God anyway. Because joy will come. Joy does come. How to handle your feelings? Handle them last. You see, if you get the facts right, you know the Bible to believe, you start believing it, you can trust joy will come. Listen, a Christian's a spiritual person. Matter of fact, every person in this room, whether you're saved or lost, you are a spiritual person. Just a person who's not born again, their spirit's dead. The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. So many of them. And we've got so much going on that people just give up on God and the Bible. Let me tell you, folks, I know why people are just not interested in looking at the Bible, they're not interested in God. But He's there. I talked to Him this morning. He handled the situation so He could have this meeting place this morning. He can handle anything. We need some healthy skepticism. So that we say, Pastor, is that in the book? Did that come from the Bible? Okay. We're okay now. Amen. Amen. Don't end up worshiping your own skepticism. Don't sit there and go, well, you know, I don't believe in anything. There's no spiritual. There's nothing good about that. Our task as Christians is to test everything. We're going to learn a bit more how to do that this month. But it's very important, folks, if you believe the facts, so that you put your faith on it, so that you can let the feelings come. What are the three? Facts first, faith next, and let the feelings come. Christians would be a whole lot stronger in their feelings if they had all of their faith built upon just that one book. You wouldn't be deceived by some guy on the God Channel. You wouldn't be deceived by something that comes in the post. You're going to be stronger in the Lord. What are you believing? Or more importantly, who are you believing? Would you stand with me and we'll bow in prayer?